What is up, you guys? Welcome to this week's episode. We quickly wanted to introduce this week's guest speaker with us. We've got Dallas Winberg joining us. He is a realtor and he and Nathan are good friends. They love chatting all things business. They're super similar in that way and their love of business and entrepreneurial ventures. And so they've been friends for a long time, but we're super excited to have him on the podcast today.
Yeah. And this is just a one-on-one interview with Dallas and myself. Allie, it was just a boys only episode.
No girls allowed.
No girls allowed. We didn't have enough microphones. So it was just Dallas and I, but it was awesome because like Allie said, Dallas and I go way back, friends at elementary school, grew up playing basketball together. And now we just share a love of business and all things like in that world. So we go out to lunch all the time and talk about it. But anyway, we wanted to bring him on the episode because he is a real estate agent. We wanted to probably get some value of where to live once you get married. So we wanted to kind of dive into that. And Dallas is just a perfect wealth of knowledge. And you guys are going to find that out. If you guys want to learn more about him, go to his Instagram. It's at Winberg Realty. That's WINNODBERG Realty. So Winberg Realty. You can also go to his website, which is just dallaswinberg.com for more information about him and his business, what he does, kind of the approach that he takes. And you guys can also, one of the coolest things that he does that Allie and I actually really love is he sends out a weekly email about all the types of homes that you guys are interested in. So Allie and I are personally interested in like real estate and like investment. We want to buy some properties and invest them. And Dallas will send us properties more geared towards that. So whatever you're looking for, he'll send you properties in your price range. He'll just kind of just a one-stop shop for everything you need as far as real estate goes. So if anybody is looking for a real estate agent, I would highly recommend Dallas. Nobody's going to take better care yet. No, you're not going to find somebody who's more committed and more dedicated to making sure that you find the right home. And he's going to teach you the whole way through. Just awesome guy. I'm always asking whenever I have real estate questions, he's my guy and he always points me in the right direction. So hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome to the Marriage Prep Podcast. I'm Nathan Hooper.
And I'm Allie Hooper. In this podcast, we will give you all the resources that you need to go from dating or engaged to creating a lasting marriage that will bring you more happiness than you ever thought possible.
Here, we're going to interview experts and discuss important topics like how to know if your partner is right for you. We will provide you guys a list of questions and conversations that you need to be having to make sure you're both ready for marriage and on the same page.
We will even dive deep into topics like sexual intimacy, finances, how to have a fair fight, and a whole lot more to make sure you can step up to that altar with complete confidence.
So subscribe now and make sure you guys don't miss any episodes, and we'll see you in there. What's up, guys? We have Dallas Winberg here with us, and we're super excited about this episode. Dallas is a real estate agent, one of my good buddies, like we talked about from elementary school. We go way back. But I'm excited to have Dallas on here because we're going to dive into when you're a new couple, just barely getting married, you need to find a place to live. And so I wanted to bring Dallas on so we can talk about what are the options, when to know if you should buy a house, when should you rent, when should you live with your parents, what are your options out there? And I want to have Dallas on so we can dive into some of those topics. So welcome, Dallas.
Thank you, man. I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, dude. So first thing I want to talk about is I want to know your story because I know you guys you've lived in a couple homes now. You've stayed with your grandparents. You've been with your parents. What was your story after you got married in like living situation?
Yeah, man, we've been kind of around the block a couple times. But my wife and I got married in 2018. But before we'd been dating for a long time. We were high school sweethearts. Wow. So, you know, you'd fairy tale life, right? We were together for a long time before we got married. And I have always been kind of a nerd, a budget nerd and a finance nerd. So I had been saving a lot of money before we even got to that point of getting married. And I'd always dreamed of owning a house as soon as we could. So right when we got married, we found a townhome, but it was a new build in South Jordan. And so we signed a contract for that, but it was, you know, it was a building process of 7 or 8 months. So we luckily had my grandparents that let us live in their basement, which was a lifesaver for us. Mm-hmm. And we were able to pay them a small rent to cover utilities and everything, but it allowed us to save up more money as well as just wait for our house to be built. And we were in a really lucky position because I'm telling you, we bought one of the cheapest houses I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe it was new. I've never seen that same model be built again. It was like 800 square feet and it was a townhome. It was tiny and it was a really, really good price, which is why we were able to get it at a pretty young age. But so we lived with my grandparents. Then we moved in probably 7 months later and we lived there for almost 2 years, I think. And yeah, I think it was about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then we did everything wrong that you could possibly do when you live in an 800 square foot house. We bought a 90 pound dog. And, you know, just to remind you, this 800 square feet was split into three levels.
Okay.
So we were on the third floor and had to walk down three stories to let our dog out, to go to the bathroom in a yard that was not fenced. It was a nightmare. And then we got pregnant. And then it was carrying, thank you. Then it was carrying a car seat and a baby up three flights of stairs when we got home and groceries. It just got to the point where it was not working for our lifestyle. And we could have made it work, but it just wasn't what we wanted. Right. And I was randomly scrolling through the MLS and I found another new build literally down the street from our house because it's a newer community. So they're just building everywhere. And we kind of jumped on it. It was a little bit bigger of a house and it was only two stories instead of three. And it had a basement. It just was a better opportunity for our family and was somewhere that we could actually grow our family.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we'd still been saving up some money while we lived there and we had built up equity in our home, which was one of the biggest reasons we were able to buy another house. We were there for 2 years and the market's been so crazy in Utah for the last 5 years that we built up a good chunk of equity in just the 2 years we lived there. Mm-hmm. So we took that equity and some of our money and we started building this other new house. And in that time, we sold our house before our new house was built. Mm-hmm. And so we moved in with my parents into their unfinished basement. Nice. And we lived in their unfinished basement for about 6 months. Which it was an unfinished basement, right?
Was it unfinished?
Yeah. So we had nothing down there and we were sharing a living space with my family. I mean, I love my family, but sharing a living space for that long amount of time with a baby, a dog, and my wife.
Right.
Probably not the most convenient thing, but we just did it so that we could get the most out of our house and not have to worry about timing up the sale and everything. But yeah, man, ever since then, we've been living in this house and we love it. We plan to be there for a while.
That's so awesome. And you guys are in Daybreak, right? Daybreak in Tatooine, Utah. So,
yeah, our old house is right down the street. And yeah, we're in Daybreak, man.
That's awesome. Do you guys think you'll be there for a little while?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, moving is definitely not fun. It sucks to move all your stuff and everything. And if you move too quick, you end up losing, you could lose money on your house with, you know, all the fees you have to pay and everything. So we definitely want to stay here for a while, at least probably 7 to 10 years. It's a good enough size that I think we can expand our family here and be comfortable here for a while. And yeah, I think we're happy with it.
That's awesome, man. So you sounds like you've kind of experienced it all. You haven't rented, but you've owned a couple of properties.
Well, I did rent because I did live in Washington.
That's right.
Remember when I was in college for a little bit. So I have rented, but not in Utah.
That's right. Okay. Right. So he's rented, he's lived with his parents and he's bought a home. So Dallas is the perfect guy. So if you're just getting married, let's say you're living with your parents, your spouse lives like in a college dorm or whatever, you guys are living separately,
right?
And you get married, you need to find a place to live. Like, what are you recommending? Like, if I come to you and I'm in this situation, what are you going to recommend to me?
I mean, the first thing is just how much money do you have? Yeah. I mean, you don't have to tell me that, but you need to have a lot of money saved. Not a lot of money. You need to have a good amount of money saved. And that's a lot of people ask me that because I have people come to me that aren't even close to buying, which is one of my favorite things. People come to me that are like, I'm not even going to buy for a year and a half, but just where do I start? And I love that because I love helping along the whole journey. And I think that's so fun to see where they start and where they end up. And so what you can buy obviously depends on the income you make, you know, the amount of money you make and the amount of money you currently have saved. So my first piece of advice for everybody is to just make sure you have a budget in place and that you save as much as you possibly can.
Okay.
And so obviously the most ideal way to do that is to save before you get married because that's when you have most likely no bills. You're probably living at home or your bills are low and you can save the most amount of money. But that's obviously not how everyone does it. And sometimes it's just situation is different.
Yeah.
And so you just got to set yourself up in a good position where you can save. And you and I have talked a little bit about it where if you get married today and you guys have $0, hey, that's fine. Everyone's situation is different, but you got to make sure that you're putting yourself in a position where you have positive cash flow and where you can save. You know, if you can live with your parents or your grandparents or something at a low or no rent, that's so big and just a huge opportunity that sometimes people don't want to take advantage of it because it's not that fun. And I get that.
Right.
But it's so worth the sacrifice when you can save that money and call a house your home. Because a lot of the times when you're first getting married, you might not make a substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
And moving into an apartment, you might not make enough money to save on top of all your bills.
Yes.
And that's where people kind of get stuck. So
right.
You just got to put yourself in that good position to save up money as much as you can, and then you kind of move to the next steps.
Yeah, no, I want to emphasize what Dallas just said there, because if you and your like relationship, you guys are only making like $1,200 a month, and you're renting, and you're renting, your rent is like $1,000 a month, you're only able to save $200 a month if you don't do anything else. So you want to make sure you're in a position, like Dallas said, where you can save as much money as you can, because that's what's going to allow you to advance in life. So let's kind of talk about like the pros and cons of each like situation. So what would you say, Dallas, having lived with your parents and your grandparents, well, what are the pros of doing that and what are the cons?
Yeah. So, I mean, the pros is obviously money.
Yeah.
I mean, unless your parents are charging you full rent, which if they are, I'd go find an apartment. Yeah, yeah. I would not live with my parents for $1,200 a month. But the number one pro is money.
Mm-hmm.
And side pro, you get to spend time with your family more. Yeah. That, I mean, I know it might not sound fun because you've lived with them your whole life, but when I look back on that 6 months, like that was a fun time. I got to see my family every day with my own family.
Right.
And that's probably never going to happen again where we're living in the same house. So you can look at the positives. I mean, the negatives are that you are also living with your family for as long as you need to. And sometimes privacy becomes an issue and it's not as fun when you come home. And if you don't have a separate entrance, then where you been all day? And
it
can get annoying, but it's almost necessary if you don't have another way to save money.
Yeah.
I mean, the pros are, no bills. You're most likely paying a small, maybe $300 utilities. You're not worrying about any of the other utilities. You're not worrying about a rent payment. You're not worrying about appliances going out. It's just like renting an apartment. That's the main upside of renting, is you don't have to worry about anything except for that rent. Yeah. If your dishwasher goes out, they cover it. If your fridge breaks down, they cover it. If your electricity goes out, they cover it. Like everything is on them when you're renting, and that's with your parents or any other rental.
But yeah.
That's my biggest pro of renting. The downs is you don't own it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Owning your house is one of the best feelings ever. And that's an asset that you have for as long as you keep it.
For sure. No, I really like that. And I want to kind of touch on staying with your parents, because I think that obviously is a great option. I think if you're just getting married, I would look for options that are not your parents. Like I like how Dallas stayed with his grandparents, because I think when you just get married, you kind of want to separate yourself from your parents for a little bit. You know, is that kind of the main reason you guys stay with your grandparents, or what ended up happening there?
Yeah. So my grandparents, I mean, bless their souls that they let us, because we didn't have anywhere else to go unless we were going to go rent and pay money. My parents were living in a different home at the time and they didn't have the best space for us necessarily. But you're totally right. Living with my grandparents was, it's just completely different boundaries where it's not your parents. When you live with your parents your whole life and then you continue to live with them after you get married, they still kind of feel like you're just there.
Right.
They don't feel like you're a separate family with your wife or your husband or whatever. So I totally agree with you, but if that's your only option,
make the most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make the most of it. Just, I feel like you don't want to get into a place where it's like, you just get permanent there.
Absolutely.
You're just stuck there. You're not moving anywhere. Like, make sure it's a temporary thing and they know it's temporary, that you're planning to move out as soon as you can. Like
100%.
It's going to allow you to progress the most in life.
Absolutely. What I would say to that is, if you are going to live with your parents, just like Nathan said, I would put a plan in place beforehand with, this is how many months we need to save up this amount of money in order to move out at this time.
Yeah.
And that makes you feel comfortable and them feel comfortable, because they might not like it either. Like, it's not just you that's uncomfortable. They think they're going to be empty nesters or whatever, and now they got you using all their stuff.
Yeah.
So if you guys both have a realistic expectation of when you're going to be out of there and why you're there in the first place, I think it helps a lot, whether with the grandparents, parents, or friends or whatever.
Yeah. No, so I like that. I think obviously if you have no other options, that's a great option. Maybe you can look at grandparents, friends, whatever. Parents are also an option, but just don't make it a permanent thing where you're just stuck there and everyone's unhappy. It's just a bad situation.
Exactly.
And try to get out when you can, so you can really continue progressing with your life. And so now, as far as like renting versus buying, let's say you're in a situation where you have enough money, we can rent, we can get out of our parents' basements and we can get our own place.
Right.
When should you rent versus when, or I guess, yeah, when should you rent versus when should you buy?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the number one thing that I always tell people when they are deciding between that and asking with that, because either they're just getting married and they already have a good amount of money saved, or like you said, they lived with parents for a year or two and they're at the point where they're like, we have enough for a down payment. Like, we're ready to rock. And the hard thing with that is that you got to look at home ownership. It's more of a liability as people think, where it's not just, hey, this house is a $1,400 mortgage and my rent's only $1,200. That's only $200 more. Or sometimes your mortgage is less than your rent, depending on where you live. And people think that that's like, that's all you need to look at.
No brainer to buy.
Yeah. And there's so many, it's kind of like I touched on before, there's so many other things that come into it where, like I mentioned, if your dishwasher goes out in your apartment, you make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And at your house, you're paying the cost to replace that dishwasher, or your washer and dryer. I mean, Think about it. Your washer, if you're buying an older house especially, you got to replace the roof every 20, 25 years.
Yeah.
Fridge, washer and dryer, you want to update everything. If anything happens, like that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a good enough cash flow or a good enough income that's still allowing you to save money while you live in your house, it can become scary when those things pop up. So I would say renting is good. And it's, you know, it's never a bad thing to rent. It's just, I would always say to buy a home as soon as you can comfortably.
Yes.
Which means you have enough to cover the down payment. You have enough to still have an emergency fund saved up in your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not bleeding out money every month when you're paying your mortgage.
Totally.
You know, you still have positive cash flow to cover those expenses. And that's what I would say.
No, I love that. And I was kind of that way. Like before I got married, I was like, man, I never want to pay for someone else's mortgage. Never want to pay rent. And I watched a Dave Ramsey video where he talked about like renting is actually pretty good when you're just getting started. And that kind of changed my mindset. It's like, yeah, if my laundry machine's not working anymore, I just call my landlord and say, hey, come fix this. Like when you own your home, if that busts, man, that's on you. And you have to figure out how you're going to fix that, because there's just a lot of responsibility that goes into owning a home. Not to mention all the extra fees and stuff you're paying, the taxes, all that. Like there's a lot of other things. So just making sure you're ready for that step.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. People like, a lot of people like to crap on renting, and they just, like I said, they compare the mortgage price to the rental price. And there's just so much more that goes into it. It's an amazing thing to own.
Absolutely.
But it is more expensive on many different fronts. It's not just the monthly payment. So yeah, I think I totally agree.
So if maybe you're in our position, like Allie and I, we've been renting here for a little over 2 years now. We're getting ready to buy a home, but at what point do you think financially is a person like ready to move into a home? How much money should they have saved up? How much money should they be making? What should their finances look like before they get into a home?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I love that question. It's also hard because every person's situation is so different.
Yes.
And so many factors come into it. If you're looking to buy a $300,000 house and I'm looking to buy a $300,000 house, but I have a $700 car payment and you don't have a car payment, even if I make more money than you, I'm not in as good of a position as you are. So what I like to tell people is when they come into me with those questions is it's so dependent on credit score, income, debt to income ratio, you know, all of those things play a factor. And the best person to talk to about that is normally a loan officer.
Okay.
So I have a couple loan officers that I work with and I refer my clients to all the time. And sometimes my clients have their own loan officers, which is just as great. But I have a couple that I work with really closely, and that's usually what I tell people is when they feel the most comfortable about buying a home.
Yeah.
Is, you know, they come to me, we look at a couple homes, we kind of talk about the general budget, but really the nitty gritty happens with the loan officer when you find out all the exact numbers of what goes into it. So like you can go to a loan officer and say, they'll ask you all the questions that I don't want to ask you. I don't want to know what you make every month or a year, how much debt you have or how bad your credit score is. Like you can tell me, but I'm not going to invade your privacy and ask you those questions.
Yeah.
That's where the loan officer comes in and kind of digs deeper into figuring out what position you're in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can go to the loan officer, they'll pull all your credit, they'll take your pay stubs, find out your monthly income and everything. And even if you're not prepared based on what they see, they're really good, at least the ones I work with, at laying out a perfect plan and how to get there. So they can say, this needs to be off your credit. This needs to improve. You need to make this much more money. They can lay out a very detailed plan of how to get there.
Yeah.
And that's when you start really being like, okay, this is a lot simpler than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Or we have some work to do before we're in that position. But it's such a valuable tool to have to get started, to know exactly where you need to be versus where you are. And so a lot of the times when you're looking to buy a house, you'll come to me or whoever your realtor is, and you'll kind of talk about your general goals. And then you'll talk with the loan officer to get pre-approved.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're pre-approved, then we can start actually looking at homes. But it's so dependent on your situation that I don't want to give a general answer. I like to point you to a specialist that can help you with your exact situation.
That makes sense. And I think what's interesting is that like, when it comes to a home buying, a lot of times people try to do it on their own. They try to find their own home and try to do everything on your own. But I think the most important thing is to have a team around you, to have a real estate agent, have a loan officer, have a lender, have all these people around you who you can trust and who can teach you, because you probably don't know much about, unless you're a real estate agent like Dallas, you probably don't know that much about buying a home.
Right.
So for you, Dallas, like, what would you say, like who should be on your team? Like who should be around you to help you to make this process as smooth as possible?
Yeah, no, that's a phenomenal point. I think a lot of people simplify the process in their head.
Mm.
And it is a simple process, but maybe a little bit more complicated than people are thinking. And so a lot of people, like you said, they see a house on Zillow and they see the Zestimate for the monthly price. And it's like, dude, that means nothing.
Right.
Like that, your monthly mortgage payment is so dependent on how much money you put down, what kind of interest rate you get, what kind of mortgage you get. Like, there's so many things that it really helps. I mean, first things first, I would find a realtor. That's all. That's usually the first step I would say, because that helps you. They usually have connections just like I do to loan officers. And you normally want a realtor that and a loan officer that work together often because they are able to communicate much more effectively. They know each other's style.
Yeah.
When the push comes to shove and it's time to make an offer and everything, it's really nice for the realtor and the loan officer to have a relationship to get things done. So my first thing is usually to find a realtor and then have them refer you to a loan officer. And we don't get anything for referring you. Right. I just have loan officers that I genuinely like working with.
Yeah.
And I'll never get paid for that, but I enjoy working with them. So I would say a realtor on your team, a loan officer on your team, and then an accountant is, is often helpful to help you go through finances. You don't need to hire a CPA if you don't want to. I think it's very helpful, but you can often just ask advice from friends or family or people that have a sound mind financially, or if you are sound financially, as long as you have a budget in place, you just will probably get approved for more money than you really want to spend. And that's important to know when you see that pre-approval number. You're not like, oh, okay, let's 400,000, let's go. Because you might not actually be able to afford that very well with your monthly expenses and everything. So I think those are three of the most important, and I think they'll get you pretty far.
And it's something that we didn't know is that, like, when you're working to buy a home, for the most part, working with a real estate agent actually doesn't cost you anything.
Exactly.
Because the if I'm correctly wrong, the real estate agent fee comes off of the seller, right?
Yeah. So that's the biggest, by far the biggest misconception of real estate is so many people have, I'm not hiring a realtor. Why would I pay a fee? I can just look on Zillow. Like, dude, a realtor is free, man. Like, a buyer's agent is, most buyer's agents, I should say, will not charge you a penny to help you find a house.
Right.
So the way it works is that when you're selling a home, your seller's agent will charge you a specific fee, whatever you guys agree on. And that fee is split between the seller's agent and the buyer's agent. So the seller pays all the real estate fees. If you are a buyer, our services are free.
Yeah.
So there's, and I mean, I know I'm a realtor, it might sound corny, but there's no reason not to hire a realtor as a buyer. It's someone that's going to bat for you for free.
Seriously.
Going to all the showings with you, giving you free advice, taking you, writing offers. I mean, we deal with lengthy contracts, tons of different types of contracts and offers that we have to write. And we're doing that for you for free. You're not paying us anything. And the only way we get paid is if you actually find a house and we close the deal and then the seller pays us. So it's so much work that we do for you for free that there's no reason not to have someone representing you in your needs and wants.
And once we found that out, we're like, immediately we called Dallas, you know, we're figuring out what we're going to do, because like we're not perfect. Like, we watch a lot of YouTube videos about real estate, but we don't know everything that Dallas does, who's literally, that's what he does every single day. He's in the market. So we want to contact a guy like Dallas who gets us connected with a loan officer. Then we can call and he can dive into our financial situation, see what we have going on, and kind of see where we're at and make recommendations like that. It's just crucial to have those people on your side who can, like, give you that tailored advice, who literally it's free. Like, they're going to give you that all for free. For the best interest in them is helping you get into a home. Like, that's what they want. Exactly. That's how they're going to benefit as well. So it's like, it's all, you know, you're all on the same team working towards the same
goal. Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
So I really like that. So shifting gears a little bit here, Dallas, let's talk about, like, the different kinds of loans you should go for and kind of more into the financial situation. Now, obviously, I know you're gonna work with a loan officer for these kind of things, but there's different kinds of things you can do. If you're a first-time home buyer, I know you can pay like 3% down. What are your thoughts on some of that kind of thing as far as loans go?
Yeah, so I'll kind of offer some of my unsolicited advice. There we go. I'm not, don't this take this to want. Heart, but this is just my personal advice. There are multiple different loan options you can get. The main ones are going to be conventional, which is just a, you know, a conventional loan, a classic typical loan.
Sure.
And that's anywhere from 5% to 20% down. You can put more if you want, but that's class typical is 5 to 20%. And then there's the FHA, which is what most or a lot of first-time home buyers use. And that's 3.5% down.
Okay.
So that's kind of nice. The FHA loan, you can only have one of those active at a time, which is why it's mostly for first-time home buyers. But that's putting the least amount of money down, which is less money out of your pocket, and where most people are that don't have a ton of money for a down payment. There are other loans, you know, like a VA loan. If you've been in the military, you can put 0% down, which is a great option for you to have. But typical is conventional or FHA. And a question I get a lot is which one they should go with. And a lot of people think that if you put more money down, it puts you in a better spot with your loan, which is true to a degree. My advice is, if you're deciding between like 3.5% down or 5%, my personal advice is always to put the least amount of money possible down on your house.
Cool.
The reason being is if you're buying a $300,000 house and you're putting 3.5% down, that's like, I don't know, $10,500. Mm-hmm. I mean, check my math. I don't know.
Sure.
5% down on that same house is like $15,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's almost a $5,000 difference. And to most people, that's a pretty big deal. The amount of change that's going to have on your mortgage payment is like none.
Mm.
Like that might change your mortgage by like $25 a month.
Really?
So to me, when you're first buying a home and you want to have money set aside after you get in,
yeah.
I rather have the $5,000 in my pocket than lower my mortgage by $20
yeah.
every month. So mainly my advice is put the least amount of money down.
Okay.
Where that changes is if you can put 20% down.
I see.
That's where you can remove PMI
mm-hmm.
off your loan, which PMI is private mortgage insurance.
Uh-huh.
If you put less than 20% down on your house, PMI is automatically added to your loan and it's included in your mortgage payment. But depending on your house, it can be $100-$200 a month added on.
Mm-hmm.
When that's obviously not ideal, but that's what most people have on their loan because most people do not put 20% down on their first house. So if you can put 20% and still be comfortable, do it because your mortgage payment, I mean, obviously you're just paying down 20% right away. Plus you're removing PMI. You're in an amazing spot.
Yeah.
If you're not putting 20%, I would say as low as possible and keep the cash in your pocket and just deal with the mortgage as it is.
Yeah. I think that's really, really valuable advice because I was kind of always under the impression that it's like, if I can't put down 20%, I probably shouldn't buy a home because I was so afraid of the PMI. But I think Dallas makes a great point that, you know, being able to get in a home at a lower rate if you're putting less down, but you still have your emergency fund, you still have your money saved up in case anything happens is actually a really good situation as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's another common misconception is that to buy a house, you need 20%. That's just not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, 3.5% is all you need for the FHA. And that's what I would recommend. That's all you put down because I would rather have cash in my pocket for those things that we talked about, those emergencies or things that happen to your home that mm-hmm. you need to pay for. I would just rather have the money.
Yeah. That's awesome. So I want to ask you, maybe this is a little too personal, but what have you guys put down on your homes? Have you done 3.5%, 20%? Like, what do you guys usually have done so far?
Yeah. So our very first house, we did an FHA loan.
Okay.
Which is 3.5% down. And that was just, I mentioned I saved up before we got married, but mm-hmm. I probably had like $15,000. We bought a house. It was like $200,000.
Yeah. Nice.
And which is almost impossible to find now. But so we didn't need to put very much down and we had a little bit, I mean, Megan had some money saved too. So we didn't need to put a crazy amount down
uh-huh.
and we still had money saved up. We did a conventional loan on the new house, but we only put down the 5%. But the reason we did the conventional versus the FHA is because this is getting a little bit deep in the roots, but an FHA loan, that PMI is stuck on your loan for the duration of like forever until you refinance with a conventional.
Sure, sure.
Flipping that to if I have a conventional right now, which we do, as soon as I own 20% of my house, they'll drop the PMI.
Okay.
So whereas I know I'm staying in this house for a longer period of time and I know the market is rising rapidly, I know I'm going to own 20% of my home in probably the next 2 or 3 years because of the amount of money I'm paying every month plus the amount of money that's rising in value.
Uh-huh.
And so because of that, I don't want to have to refinance and start my loan over when the time comes. So that's why I did the 5%. I know I just said to do the 3.5. I still believe 3.5% is what you should do for your first home because most people don't stay in their first house for a long period of time. It's usually a 5-year home. Uh-huh. And right now, I know Utah's rising crazily, but in a typical market, you're not going to own 20% of your house in five years. So I'd rather have the cash at hand. But that's why we did it with our second home. We're like, we're going to be here for a lot longer. We're going to drop PMI soon.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of what we did. But
that's awesome. Yeah. That was a nice advanced tip. Hope you guys wrote that down. I didn't even know that. That's really good to know. So talking to also about like, I want to hear from you, what are your advice? Like most of the time, couples aren't going to be able to just like buy a home like right after they get married. Like for the most part, depending on where you're at, maybe you're older in your relationship, like you're 26, 27 getting married and maybe you have enough money saved up. But a lot of times you're 20, 21, just getting married, you're probably not gonna be able to buy a home, right?
Right.
So your options are gonna be more towards living with your parents or finding a rental.
Right.
What would you recommend for people to find the best deals for like a great rental? Are you saying like, is it better to find an apartment complex or basement apartment? What, like provide us some guidance of where we can find like great deals and opportunities.
Are a lot of great websites to find apartments in general, but I would almost always gear towards the basement apartments. Those can be hard to find, but you normally can build a relationship with the owners and your rent's not so strict, not as strict as in timely. I mean, strict as in they're not going to raise it 8% every year.
Right.
Like they're doing to all the 400 other complexes next to you. So I feel like it normally starts out at a lower price to live in a basement. It's normally a lot bigger space. It's way more private.
Mm-hmm.
And the relationship that you build is a little bit more valuable and your rent probably won't rise as fast.
Yeah.
So that's why I like basements. You can rent a basement for $1,200. That's like three bedrooms and a bathroom and a big living room and a dining room. And then an apartment, $1,200 in a normal city like West Jordan is like one bedroom. The only bathroom's in the master bed.
Right. Right.
And it's $1,200 and you're on like the third floor and it's like a 50-year-old apartment building. So I don't think that's bad. Uh-huh. And I know a lot of people that rent apartments that it's not the bad thing. I just would say if you can find a basement, you generally can find a lot more value.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times that's hard is that basement apartments are often not listed like Zillow or Rentler.com. And so a lot of the times it's like putting out a Facebook post like, is anybody going to be renting soon or thinking about renting their basement? Because sometimes people are like, dude, we could rent our basement. Like that's $1,000 off our mortgage. And they get really excited. So I would try to find a friend or family referral that can help you, but there still are like you found your basement on Zillow.
We found ours on Zillow. I would totally agree with Dallas. Like we were able to like get deals with our landlord where I would mow the lawn and he would save us $100 in the yard. You know, like there's no way you're finding that in an apartment complex.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of doors open up being someone's a basement. But I would say, Facebook is a great one, like using Facebook Marketplace even or posting on Facebook KSL.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And like I said, I mean, you can find nice apartment buildings and it's not bad to pay $1,200 for an apartment. It's just there are better options out there, but it is hard. You know, like you probably know, it's hard to find a nice basement rental. But like I said, more value, more space, probably less rent. I think that's the best option.
Yeah, totally. Well, Dallas, I really appreciate it. I want to just like have you open up, like, what are your advice? Like, I know you've kind of been through the block a little bit. You know what it's like to just be just newly married, trying to find a place to live. Like, what's your advice to people? Like, what would you say? Like, if you could just tell everyone, what would be like your word of advice?
Yeah. So my number one piece of advice would be, I mean, a lot of people in Utah are getting married a lot younger than everywhere else in the country. And so like you're saying, you might not be in the best financial position when you're getting married and maybe not prepared to buy a house right away. And a lot of times it's hard for people maybe keeping up with the Joneses and realizing these guys got a house at this age, or these guys are already making this much money. How do they have that car? And my number one piece of advice would be to completely avoid that at absolutely all costs.
Love that.
Because living with your parents, like I mentioned, it's probably not the best situation. It's maybe not the most, not the coolest thing to post on Instagram that you're living in your parents' unfinished basement with a family.
Yeah.
Like that's not that cool. And that's not that fun. But the sacrifices that you make in those younger years in your entire 20s up to your early 30s, like we're so young.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just so important to let go of that Instagram lifestyle and just sacrifice, budget, be smart with your money, save as much money as you possibly can, and just put yourself in a good financial position to buy a house.
No.
And so that's my other thing. That's the last thing I'll end with is, the amount of money that you save, especially in how crazy today's market is so important and so valuable, because the number one thing you need right now is leverage against other buyers. Like it's such a hot market and it's so competitive and there's just no inventory right now that the amount of money you have can greatly impact the amount, the house you're able to buy or the offer we're able to submit. And so it starts with my very first thing I said is, be smart financially, set up a budget and save as much money as you possibly can. And that'll just set you up perfectly for the long road that you're about to go through.
Yeah. No, I love that. I think it's so common for us to like see like, oh, Dallas has two houses.
Right.
You know, like we're just doing a bit, but you really can't compare situations. You'd never know what's going on. Like you just got to focus on your own goals, focus on getting whatever you want to achieve, focus on that. Being willing to make sacrifices right now, being willing to, I never lived in my parents' unfinished basement apartment, but Dallas did so he could get into a house like he is now.
And that's exactly our situation, you and I, is exactly why I would say that, that I bought a house at like 21.
Right.
And I thought, I mean, that's pretty cool. And it felt good, but it's a tiny house. You have saved a very large amount of money. Like Nathan is a very set financially, fellows. Okay. Just so you guys know,
Nathan's
in a very good financial position. So I sacrificed some things here and there to get where I'm at, but you have too. And you're in a better financial position. Like you hear me, I put 5%. Oh, come on.
No.
So that's what I'm just trying to say is that you like, on the outside, maybe Nathan does think it's cool. I've bought a house, sold a house, and bought another one.
Sure.
And, but I've eaten crap to get there.
Yeah.
You've also eaten crap to get in a complete different spot where for your sure. next house, you're going to be in such a good spot. You're going to have tons of leverage. You're in just a very, very good position. And that's why you can't compare. Because you just got to ride your own ship, do what you can do, and block everyone else out. Mm-hmm. And you'll get there just fine. But it's so hard looking at other people's outside perspective, because it, unless you talk to them and know everything about them, you have no idea.
No, I love it. I think that's crucial. So if I would sum this all up, guys, Dallas has killed it today. So I hope you're taking notes. I hope you know you're like, when you're ready to get married and you're going to find a place to live, come back, listen to this episode. But the biggest things I would say, obviously don't compare yourself. Don't try to keep up with the Joneses. Focus on what you're working towards. Find a team around you. It's free to work with a real estate agent. Call Dallas. He is incredible. Get involved with him. He's going to help you out. Even if you don't end up working with him, use him as a resource, because he's more than willing to help. He has mailing lists like we talked about. He's going to provide so much value for you. So get in touch with a team where you can get people around you who are going to help you to reach your goals. And then just be willing to sacrifice, obviously. And then don't try to like overextend. If you're not ready to buy a house, don't buy a house. Be willing to sacrifice and live with your parents' basement temporarily. Be willing to rent when you don't want to rent. If you're not ready to buy a house, don't try to force to buy a house. I think I've heard that, like, maybe it was Dave Ramsey or someone said, like, the worst like thing you can do is buying a home when you're not ready, because if you can't afford that home, like, that's just so much liability you're taking on if you can't. And so you're going to put yourself in a lot worse situation than if you just started out renting. So make sure you're totally ready to buy a home. You're working with a guy like Dallas, and you know, things are going to work out for you. So anything else you add to that, Dallas?
No, man. I really appreciate you having me, man. Okay. This has been fun. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time.